Hi, this is Paul Warne, and you're listening to the Rams Review Podcast.
This is the Rams Review Podcast. Discussions, insights, interviews, and analysis. All passion, all Derby County. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Rams Review Podcast with your host, Jason. And this week, a bit of a mix-up on the voices. We've had Chris and Jack on for the last couple of weeks, but I'm delighted to say joining me again is James Cotton. James, nice to have you on again, mate.
Nice to be here. Thanks very much.
And we also should be hearing from another guest in a little while. He's running a little bit late, but we're making a start. Because as we are recording this, it is Tuesday at 7 o'clock, and we've got one eye on a game tonight that we both want to obviously talk about, go and watch. But before we dive into that, because it is a talking point, James, we do have to cover it. We start with Derby County on Saturday. We've just been having a bit of a chit chat off air. And you asked me the question, I'm going to ask it back to you. What did you think of Derby Saturday? I said, I thought it was the game was job done. It doesn't matter at the moment anymore, does it? We've just got to, it's just about points. And I think, you know, on balance of play, Derby deserved it without cutting anybody open too much. But three goals, three set pieces, and with other results going in our benefit, it was, other than Portsmouth winning, of course, a pretty good day for Derby fans all round.
It was, yeah. I mean, you know, 3-0 helps the goal difference that little bit, doesn't it? The performance, I wouldn't say it was a classic performance. I think when I looked at the stats, Leighton Orient had actually had more possession than what we'd had. But, you know, we've bemoaned not being able to finish from set pieces for years and years, and we've done it three times in one game. So we've done exactly what we need to be able to do. And look, I would have took scrappy 1-0, 89th minute, 100%. It is all about the 3 points, and we did exactly what we needed to be able to do on Saturday, with a little bit of help from Portsmouth having a draw with Bolton, which has obviously put everything back into our hands.
Absolutely. And yet we will talk a little bit about the Bolton Portsmouth result, and of course a bit of a shock result against Oxford Peterborough, who obviously, because of those games in hand, I was actually seeing as more of a threat than Bolton, because Bolton are bang out of form at the moment, really. But obviously a point against the league leaders like we managed is not a mean feat. But we'll touch on that in a minute. As you say, three goals, three set pieces, three different set piece takers, and two different scorers. Obviously, Sonny Bradley redeeming himself, having been called back in, James. Some will probably wonder why he got called back in. I actually think, me included, I'm surprised he actually got the recall. I'm surprised we went to the 3-5-2, but then again, it probably suited it a little bit more. And it's been the Derby way, if you want to use a turn of phrase from a couple of years ago. When Derby needed a result, he has slotted back where he's been able to that 3-5-2. And for some reason, it seems to work. Own goal for the first one. Obviously, Kane Wilson's bound to claim it. That's fine. But no, it's definitely an own goal. But as we said, a game of Derby never, for me, were ever in danger of losing that game. It was just making sure we got the ball in the back of the net. And that's what we managed to do from three set pieces. I was a little bit worried about some of the other opportunities that we managed to create against a team that, let's face it, they were below par. They didn't particularly offer a great deal for me. Don't remember too many glaring, clear-cut chances, certainly in the first half. Opened up a little in the second, but for me, not a dominant performance up front. No disrespects. James Collins obviously come back in. I don't know if we've not rushed him back, James, a little bit, but he hasn't obviously been on the end of anything at the moment, and that is what he's there for. Mendes Lang, he has been a little bit off par, off the boil, for the last few. And there was just other bits and pieces on Saturday that didn't quite go for Derby in an attacking sense. So when that doesn't happen, and we've seen it so many times watching Derby over the years, and there's been times under Paul Warne before we got as good as we seem to be now at set pieces. I think they said on the radio that's something like Derby's 25th set piece goal. I mean, that is a pretty incredible stat, really. So I don't know if that's of the season or under Paul Warne. I can't remember what they said now, but that's an interesting stat if that is the case. But we have seen it so many times this season where things haven't gone for us. A set piece goal has won us games or has picked us up points. And whilst you never want it to come down to that, certainly at home, they've managed it. But not only one, it is three, and so it looks probably a bit more of a comfortable victory than it possibly was for the 30 plus in Pride Park on Saturday. But of course, it was all about, we heard Portsmouth had obviously taken an early lead against Bolton. Derby then, obviously the crowd are up. Derby managed to get that goal before, obviously, I know Bolton equalised, and that's the way that it ended. But it was just, again, a key point of the game. The longer that had gone on, the nerves again possibly would have kicked in. So kudos to Derby for taking the advantage of those set pieces. And as I say, it seems to be a real part of Derby's armoury at the moment. And that is something, as we said, as I mentioned earlier, that is just not something that Derby County have been known for. Some will say direct, but there's more than ways than one to skin a cat, isn't there? So getting goals like that, especially when you're not putting them in from open play as frequently as I suppose we've been used to as Derby fans over the last 7 or 8 years, then it doesn't matter how they end up in the back of the net as long as they do.
This is it. I mean, I'm just looking back at results here, and obviously who scored in what games. The last time we had a striker score was the 12th of March, and that was Dwight Gale. Just before he went off injured in the 2-1 victory against Reading. I know obviously we've had striker issues, we haven't had people fit, so on and so forth. James Collins, yes, I agree, he's been rushed back, but I think he's needed to be able to be rushed back. We haven't really had, we lacked that focal point without him. And it looked like we were starting to be able to struggle, and we were a little bit devoid of ideas. So the fact that we are scoring from set pieces, thankfully, we've got goals coming from elsewhere within the team. I think he's scored three this season. Cashin's got at least a couple. Nelson, again, the same. Kane Wilson, I think he's scored three, and I think they're all headers as well. And he's not the biggest man on the pitch, and he's managed to be able to get in there with a couple. So it's good that we are getting those goals from all over the pitch. We're not too reliant on our strikers, because at the moment it just proves we can't be. They're not in form. Yes, they've all had injuries. Certainly, Waghorn and Washington were out for a very long time, and I think certainly Washington looks rusty. He really does. Like, each time that I've seen him, he hasn't looked like he's match fit at all. Waghorn, whether he's not fully fit or not, I don't, or whether he's just not Warne's cup of tea, he doesn't seem to be able to be starting a game. He'll come on and probably do 15 minutes towards the end. Might always be if all he's capable of, to be honest with you. But I think everyone's putting a shift in. I don't think anyone's kind of, not pulling up trees. I think they're putting a shift in, but they're certainly not in form at the moment, the strike force. James Collins, he went through that purple patch in the middle of the season, didn't he, where everything he seemed to be able to touch turned to gold, or turned to goals even. So he was doing really, really well. And again, probably say that if he hadn't have got injured when he did, just trying to figure out when he got injured, actually, who were we playing? Was it Exeter
Yes,
we
I
got
think it
injured
was.
against? There's probably an argument to be able to be said there that if we'd got him fit, would we have turned a couple of those, draws into wins, those losses into draws kind of thing? Would we already be in a position as to where we're actually, you know what, tonight's result might have meant that we were up, kind of thing. So
Yeah.
we'll see where we get to. But again, it's devil's advocate, isn't it? You can sit here and play it all day long. If this, if that, if buts and maybes, this is the position that we're in. We have scored three goals on Saturday. I can't have any complaints about it whatsoever. The atmosphere again was incredible. We were, singing from the off, and that early goal always helps Pride Park. It always seems to help the South Stand to be able to find the voice. Two early goals, we were rocking. It was brilliant. I actually went to the game with a friend of mine who's a Chelsea fan. He was that sold on it that he's bought himself a Derby shirt. So he'll be taking us on as his second team kind of thing. But he really enjoyed it. Couldn't believe the atmosphere and the size of the crowd for the third tier of English football. It's such a good advert for it. It really was.
Yeah, no, I would fully agree. I thought again, I agree. The atmosphere Saturday was pretty strong. And again, it's going to be the same for Carlisle. Hopefully, it's just a promotion party and nothing's riding on it, James. But we'll wait and see on that. But a couple of things that you've pulled up there, I think the key talking point, not necessarily about just Saturday, but actually about the last sort of 2, 3 months. You've got to sit back and look at it now if you're going to reflect over that period of, like you say, once Collins got injured, there was a few of us going, oh, right. And I can't remember who we won a game at Pride Park at home 1-0, and we were
Stevenage, that's who it would
Stevenage,
be.
that was it. Yeah,
Stevenage, yeah.
it was lackluster, and we were all like,
It
oh
was.
no, going forward, we look atrocious. Obviously,
Yeah.
bring in Dwight Gayle. Without the Collins injury, Dwight Gayle might not happen and we might not have collected those points. But like you pointed out, if Collins had been fit, it would have been interesting to see, would we have lost at Northampton? Would we have only drew at Wickham if he was fully fit? Those things. But I'm gonna have to sit here and say, for all the worries, and it's obviously dead easy to do it now after the fact, and we have dropped points and don't get me wrong, other teams around us have dropped points, which means it's not been as crucial. But I actually think when you, like you say, when you look at who we've actually had available, and the games that we've had, I'm not saying we count ourselves lucky with the amount of points that we've got and still the position that we're in, but it's a period that worried a lot of Derby fans, me included. And you have to say, as we look at it now, as I say, in hindsight, they've managed to get through it. And when you actually look throughout the entirety of the season, other than obviously the start where we're a bit slow at home, if you actually look at periods of the season this year, this season where Derby have been off the boil, okay, we've been off the boil probably performance-wise, but results-wise, what, we've only lost back-to-back once this season. As I say, we had a bit of a slow start at Pride Park, but we were winning away, so it wasn't the end of the world. Then we got that period, obviously, we always seem to play well October, November, don't know why, where we were winning left, right and centre. And then a couple of defeats crept in, but it wasn't a massive wobble for me, James. And as I say, this period, you look at that then, and you look, no recognised striker, and you go, well, that's it. We've blown our opportunity, and we're still sat here with two games to go. With those players now coming back, most of them, and we're still sat in second. And I wouldn't say looking pretty, but we're there. I mean, we'd have certainly taken it 2 months ago. So I think if that's down to management style, and obviously organisation and everything that includes, we could be sat in a much worse position. And so I think you have to give credit where credit's due, because there has been points this season where Paul Warne has been obviously lambasted a little bit, and probably quite right too, with Stevenage away, Shrewsbury away, that period in time. But since then, mate, for me, yeah, okay, the performances haven't been mega every week, but we have been pretty consistent, just as consistent as
We have.
probably Portsmouth have been. So if it hadn't have been for that sort of early season struggle at home, I'm not saying we'd have won it at a canter, but I think we'd possibly be a bit more comfortable than we are now. So, all in all, we talk about the quality of the league, which is a conversation we know we've had before, and we know that. But actually, we look at it and we are up there. The league table doesn't lie, James. We are up there for a reason. And actually, if you do go back and take your big fan's hat off and you actually look at it progressively, Derby have been pretty consistent this season, surprisingly.
Yeah,
But we still
they
probably sit
have.
here going, what if? Or we could have done more. And as a fan, yeah, if you're in this position and can say that, that's surely again a proof that you've not had a bad season at all.
Well, no, I mean we're on the record amount of points that we've ever got in a 3 point win season. We're second in the league. You've got to look at what's around you, and I don't think any team, bar probably Portsmouth, have taken the initiative to be able to go on and start running away with the league. And yeah, they're what are they, six points ahead of us in the 5 points ahead of us at this moment in time. And you look at the likes of Peterborough, you look at the likes of Bolton, Oxford. Barnsley, all of us at some point have had a wobble, and no one's been able to kind of get up to be able to challenge consistently for that spot. We've got into that second place position back in February at the right time. At the right time, our form, like you say, through October, November into December was fantastic. We had a massive winning run. What did we go like? Something like 12 games unbeaten, or
Yeah.
something like that. In all competitions, and that hit at the right time. Whereas usually we get to February, we've had that bit, and then all of a sudden the wheels fall off.
Yeah.
They haven't fell off this year. We've managed to be able to just keep that a little bit more consistent than what we have done previous. Yes, we haven't won every game, but do you know what? There's two football teams on the pitch. We're not going to win every single game. Man City don't win every single game. They can still get beat by the likes of Bournemouth. It does happen. And do you know what? I think we've done really, really well. I was in that camp back in late September, early October, where I was calling for Paul Warnshead. I wanted him gone. I didn't like his attitude to when we lost. I thought he came across as far too jovial, and it almost came across as quite a small club mentality that he seemed to have. Yes, he's been at Rotherham, but he's been at Derby for a while now. And I didn't like the way that he was coming across when we'd lost, because it felt like it meant more to us that we'd lost than it did to him. But credit where credit's due, he and the team, the coaching staff, everyone involved with Derby County have turned it around. And they've pulled it out of the hat, and we've got up to really where I would suggest the vast majority of fans thought we would probably be pre-season. We were the favourites going into the season, along with the likes of Peterborough, along with the likes of Portsmouth and Bolton, to be able to clinch promotion. And it did seem within those first, 8 to 10 games, that was not going to be possible. We were lower mid-table. Where was this kind of promotion push going to come from? And then all of a sudden it started coming together, the team knitted together. This then, started to be able to understand a bit of how they were playing. Yes, you could argue it's been a poor league. I think it probably has been, because there's only really been Portsmouth that have been fairly consistent. What have they lost? Something like four. They've lost four games all season.
More.
That's consistency. That's a brilliant result. I think
Is it 9 or 10?
we've lost 10.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've lost 10. I mean, obviously, having played a game more, they've drawn 13 of their games, two of them against us. And there's an argument to be able to say that we probably should have won both games against Portsmouth, to be honest. But all I can do really is take my hat off to them. They've done a cracking job. And I just hope now, in these next two games, we get ourselves over the line. It'd be nice if we get a little bit of help off others in and around us, which I can't see Bolton picking up a maximum of 9 points out of the three games that they've got left. I really can't. Yeah, they'll probably win tonight. Yes, they'll probably win at the weekend. But that last game that they've got against Peterborough, you've got two teams then vying for the playoffs. I cannot see them picking up full points against that. I think they'll probably cancel each other out, and that'll do me just fine. Not a
Yeah.
problem.
I still think they're gonna slip up. I think they probably looked at Saturday as having to get the win, especially with Derby winning.
Yeah.
It might just knock them, and then I mean they're comfortably going to be in the playoffs. Then do they
Yeah.
start? Is one eye on that already? So we'll see in what 25 minutes as we record when they kick off. But I want to ask you a question,
Yeah.
James. Based on, I mean, we're still talking Leyton Orient Saturday, and I'll come back to that in a minute. But we've kind of gone off on a canter. But it's a question that I asked on the pod a couple of weeks ago, and it's prevalent to ask you as well because we've just been talking about it. We are bigging up if we want the way that Paul Warner's managed over the last few months. And the question that I think I asked, I think it was Chris a couple of weeks ago, are we starting to now see the reasoning probably behind David Clough's bringing him in? Because I don't think at many points last season we saw it. I still don't think he's 100% got the type of squad that he wants. I think that's probably evident. Last season, I think he struggled to get a tune out of them for a fair bit of it. This year, I think the tables have turned a little bit. I think he has managed to get a tune out of some of these. I mean, don't get me wrong, he's brought them in, but I still don't think they're necessarily is bread and butter week in, week out if restrictions were different. So do we have to look at it now and go, actually, we have to give credit where credit's due, and maybe the reasoning behind bringing Paul Warne in at that time is now starting to bear fruit. I know Derby fans obviously wanted instant success. Of course we did. It clearly doesn't always work that way. Obviously, we know there's
Exactly.
still two games to go, and things still might not go Derby's way between now and the end of the season. But I think the question's prevalent. We have to give credit where credit's due. He was brought in for a reason, and there's more reasons to see why now, over certainly from the last 3 months for me personally.
Yeah, I think look, David Clough strikes, not that I know him, because I don't. I'd like to, but I don't. He strikes me as a very calm individual. I don't think he makes rash decisions. I think the decision to be able to part with Lynn Rozinwar last season and bring Paul Warne in wasn't one that I expected, but I think it was calculated. But in a good way, he'd made an informed decision on it. He hadn't rushed into it. I think he'd looked at it over a period of time. He'd given himself a chance to be able to have that thinking space as to what he wanted to be able to do and the direction that ultimately he wanted to be able to take Derby County in. And I think it is now starting to be able to pay off. As much as I liked Liam's kind of approach, footballing approach, I think he was probably more the brains behind the whole kind of Wayne Rooney management team than what people realised. I liked his way of playing football, which he's carried on at Hull. It wouldn't have worked, in my opinion, in League One. You are playing a different type of team in League One. It is a lot more kind of kick it and hoof it. And I think we would have got found out pretty quickly. And I don't think we would have finished seventh last year had Rozinwar been in charge for the remainder of it. I think we'd probably have been more mid-table. And we wouldn't be sat here in second this year. You'll see it as much as what I do on Twitter that there's people that still think that he should be in charge. I can't say that I agree with it. I probably would have thought it at points last year, but you've got to look at what Warne's done this year. He's got a tune out of them, and to be able to have a team that, when you consider what 18, 19 months ago, we had five players in the books. Five. We had to go and get a new squad. A team of five is, that's you're not going to finish anywhere with a team of five, and we've managed to be able to get a team of five, bring in a load of freebies and some really good freebies to be able to play in League One. And I'll use the likes of, Conor Hourihan, James Collins. What a signing they were for League One, certainly last year. Possibly not so much this year, certainly for Hourihan. I don't think he's been brilliant at points this year. But to be able to bring those in last year and kind of start building a team around that, to then manage to be able to finish seventh when you have nobody, and then take it on again this year, and now we are sitting with two games to go in second place. It's nothing short of remarkable, really. And yeah, credit where credit's due. I'm quite happy to be able to sit here right now, hold my hands up and say I got it wrong. I wanted him gone. But when it became evident that David Clowes and Derby County were going to back him and back him no matter what, it was time for the rest of the fan base, which has been pretty toxic at points this year, to be able to get behind it. And I think the majority of us did. To be able to say, look, okay, fair enough. Right, we'll back you. We'll see where we end up. And look what's happened. The tide has turned. I think we've played a part in that as the fans. Pride Park must be a pretty intimidating place to be able to come when we're on song, both as a team and as a fan base, because it is loud in there. And you've got a little corner at the in the southeast corner where your fans might be, and you can't hear them. Not when we're all on song. It must be such a nice place to be able to play. It really must. But yeah, I think he's got to have full credit. I don't think you can really take anything away from him or the coaching staff, really, because they've all played the part in it. The only bit that, again, like we were saying off air before we just came on, the only bit really that kind of concerns me going forward is recruitment, and how that kind of plays out in the summer, because we didn't cover ourselves in glory in January, did we? Yes, we've got Abu Adams in, and that's a brilliant sign. I hope to goodness we managed to be able to sign him on a permanent in the summer. That'd be a brilliant signing. And I'd certainly look to be able to try and give Gale a 1 year deal, even if we are in the championship next year as well, because I think there's still something that he can offer us. And that's pretty much the sum of what we managed to be able to do in January. But yeah, it could be that those two little bits that we added get us over the line. And if they do, happy days.
Absolutely summed it up perfectly, I think. And yeah, recruitment, it's hard to talk about recruitment. It's something that you've got to put one eye towards, but of course, until you know what division you're playing in, it's very, very hard. But it just goes to show you, as we were saying off air, for every loanee or free signing or paid signing that we've had that have failed, there are others out there. And Ebu Adams obviously highlights that, and we've had more than that over the years. But just to finish up on the Leyton Orient chat, he is a player that I have to mention from Saturday, because he was just
He's
he,
just, he's
again,
everywhere, isn't he?
he just ran the show yet again. And I think, in all fairness, and it's only because of how well he started, he's probably been off the boil ever so slightly, if you want to put it that way. I mean, he's probably had a couple of six and a halfs or maybe a seven in the last two or three, but we're so used to him having an eight or a nine. It's, for somebody still can't quite fathom why he's not getting into that Cardiff side. But I mean, it's their loss, it's our gain. I've got no problem with that, and I would agree with you. I'd be walking around three paces from him with a pen in my hand and a contract. I really would, because I think at the right age, the sort of position in the team that we want as well, and somebody we've looked for quite some time, he would be one of my first signings. But just to finish up on Saturday, James, when you've got a player like that, and we've seen it so many times, we saw it so many times in the Championship, when you've got a midfielder that can dominate, it does make a massive difference. And
Huge.
okay, he's not massively dominating going forward, but what he does effectively. He is everywhere. He pops up on the right every now and again. You don't see many people get past him. His athleticism, there is just so much to love about Ebu Adams. But again, a crown in the jewel on Saturday for me. Ran the show. Probably something that we missed against Wickham in the week previous, where the midfield probably wasn't quite the strongest. And I mean, Corey Smith has to come into this as well, because since he's come back, I think he has been pretty
He's played his part, hasn't he?
Well, he's keeping Aaron on the bench, and like you've just mentioned, he probably hasn't been as good as we were hoping for this season. He was good in parts last year. Obviously, put the ball in for the put the corner in for the third goal, but you know, he has obviously largely been out of the team just recently since Corey Smith's come back. So there is a reason behind that. But Saturday, a standout player other than Bradley for me, obviously with the two goals. I mean, you can't look no further than Adams in midfield yet again.
No, you can't. I mean, I'm just on that. I'm really pleased for Sonny Bradley. I think he had a very turbulent start to his Derby career, didn't he? He'd not really been he'd not been starting for or playing even for Luton. So I think he had a fair bit of time out of the game. It might have all started off with an injury last season. I'm sure it did. But to be able to go from kind of club captain. A team that's just been promoted to the Premier League and then find yourself at a League One club. We thought he was, you know, going to be walking on water. And you know, it'd be a shoo-in kind of thing, probably alongside Cashin. And Nelson had struggled to be able to get a look in. And it was mistake after mistake after mistake. And then everyone got on his back. And he found himself out of the team. And then he'd be playing a bit part. And then we kind of swapped formation a little bit, didn't we? And went to a three at the back. He found himself back in, and I think even then it took him a couple of games to find his kind of his place in the team and work out how that, you know, that three at the back was gonna work, but it did. He then made the silly mistake at Northampton, which deservedly he was banned for, and here we are now starting on Saturday. I think it was the right decision to be able to start him. I'm glad that he did. After the Wickham game, I think we did need to be able to change the formation and kind of make ourselves a little bit stronger down the middle because we just weren't at all. We'd got no solidity about us. And he came in, he shored up the back line. I think it just gave everybody that little bit of confidence, to be honest. And, you know, to be able to get a couple of goals, I think you could see how much, certainly the first one, it meant to him. A little bit of redemption. And I think he's probably sealed his place in the starting lineup for probably the next couple of games, to be honest.
Derby County Women suffered a disappointing defeat when they travelled to Halifax FC on Sunday. Halifax started the better of the two sides, forcing youth keeper Sarah Morgan into action from 25 yards and then from a succession of corners. Eleanor Ashton would drag the ball across the face of goal and wide after getting in behind down the right for the youths before Morgan was needed once more. Derby failed to clear their lines from a free kick and the keeper would have to get a strong right hand to a volley struck on the turn. Halifax took the lead when Green found the bottom left corner later in the first half before Georgia Stevens was denied a second when Morgan made a stop with her feet. Eleanor Ashton would win a penalty just prior to the break after chasing a long ball down the right, but saw her effort from the spot saved by Rebecca Flaherty, who went the right way to push the ball wide. Emay had a couple of chances from distance in the second half, and Charlotte Steggles had a goal on the volley from 25 yards, but Derby's best chance would come through Isabel Sheridan. The substitute saw the ball flicked onto her by Steggles following a cross from the left and headed the ball towards the bottom right corner from 10 yards out, only to be denied by Flaherty. Manager Sam Griffiths stressed that the poor playing surface was no excuse for her side, who must find a way to win in these situations. Both Griffiths and captain Amy Sims praised Halifax for their heart and desire, while Sims stated that the only way the team can put things right is by showing a reaction. Derby County's men's team, of course, have a massive game against Cambridge United this weekend, and the same can be said of the women's team, who play Cambridge in the FA Women's National League Plates final. That's U's first ever national final. Derby's opponents currently sit 7th in the FA Women's National League, Division 1 South East, and come into the game on a high after beating local rivals Cambridge City 3-0 last time out, with goals from Harley Simpson, Isabella Simmons and Ruth Fox. Final is taking place at Broadhurst Park, that's the home of FC United of Manchester, with tickets available on the day for a 2 p.m. kickoff. The club are calling for fans to make the journey with the tagline "We Need You," spelt EWE, very clever, and there is at the time of writing still space on a coach from Pride Park that will set off and take you to Broadhurst Park.
So, James, after Saturday, as we mentioned, two games to go. Cambridge away, which I'm still not sure about. Obviously, new manager gone in there. I know they didn't get the best of results. I think they lost at home on Saturday, so still not quite sure. Maybe that's just a feeling out process for a push next season. So maybe not the worst time to play them. And then, of course, let's face it, if you was going to handpick who you wanted to play the last game of the season, you've got the bottom team, relegated side. Coming to Pride Park, be great to see Paul Simpson again in the dugout. But before that, we are going to quickly, very, very quickly touch on obviously Saturday result, Bolton, Portsmouth 1-1. You never really knew where that was going to go. And I have to say, I think Bolton at home, I looked at that and thought, if anything, I can't see Portsmouth necessarily winning it. Best case scenario, obviously, was probably a point, which is exactly what happened. And then, of course, Bolton play tonight, Shrewsbury at home as well. Bolton have had a very, very good home record this season, so I don't expect them to necessarily slip up tonight. I hope they do. Makes obviously our job a lot easier because we know three times already this season we've had an opportunity to take advantage and we haven't quite fully taken it, so still one eye is on Cambridge. But I said it 2 weeks ago on the podcast, and it's still the same statement now, James. There's two games to go. It doesn't matter what everybody else around us does if Derby wins both games, and obviously that's the biggest question. But just to mention, as I say, Bolton, I kind of alluded to it earlier. Do you think they saw that game against Portsmouth on Saturday as a sort of a must win, and a draw probably deflated them a little bit? And then when you think, obviously, about deflation, Peterborough, obviously, were a couple of games behind us, but in fine fettle, losing 5-0, that's not the type of result that they would have been expected to get. They have been getting. So that probably comes as a bit of a shock as well. Do you think now it is a bit of a two-horse race, or do you still have to keep one eye on Peterborough as well?
I think Peterborough are done, to be honest. I think to be able to try and turn it around from a 5-0 loss against Oxford. Oxford are a decent team. There's no question about that. Each time that we've played them, they've given us a run for our money. They were 2-0 when we went down there, and we managed to be able to turn it around 3-2. But Peterborough for me are out of it now. I think that result on Saturday will probably knock the stuffing out of them. And then I think it is a two-horse race between us and Bolton. I think Bolton think they should be in that second place. That's certainly the kind of thing that I see on Twitter from their fan base. They believe that they are the best team in this league, and they've had a few bad results, and that's what's caused them to be able to be in the position that they're in. They are very good at home. Their fan base likens them to Brazil 2002 at home, Brazil 2014 away from home, kind of thing. So that's you get two separate sides with Bolton. They're at home tonight. I fully expect them to be able to take the 3 points. Father-in-law's a Shrewsbury Town fan, and they have not been playing well. It's as straightforward as that. So anything that Shrewsbury can take from that game, they're obviously still fighting for their own League One status next year. Hopefully there's some fight left in them to be able to try and take something out of the game. But the result on Saturday between Bolton and Portsmouth, I can't say that a draw surprised me. I did kind of think they might cancel each other out. There's probably a bit of want from Portsmouth to be able to get it all tied up and actually clinch promotion at home, which they can do tonight. I can't remember who they play. But I know
They've
that
got
they're
Barnsley.
playing at home tonight. They've got Barnsley tonight, have they?
Yeah.
So yeah, I fully expect them to be able to get the 3 points tonight. I think Bolton will do the same, and that'll put the pressure back on us. But it obviously is still in our hands. I can't see us not winning our next two games. Don't get me wrong. I think Cambridge will be a difficult game on Saturday. They'll make it difficult for us. Little stadium, the Abbey. The fans will be right on top of us, but I think we've got the quality to be able to come through. You don't win 12 games away from home for no reason, do you? We're obviously doing something right away from home, so hopefully we can go on and make that 13 and make that another club record this season. And then, like you say, Carlisle at home. Hopefully, Simo can do us a favour, and we can go off marching up to the championship come last game of the season.
No, absolutely. And just to point out as well, Peterborough tonight play Fleetwood at home, I believe it is. So I agree with you. I think they are probably gone now. Whilst obviously a slip up brings other teams back in, what a 5-0 defeat must have done at the weekend. Nobody knows. And as
Oh,
we,
yeah.
I think if you look at Bolton's form just recently, as I say, they have had a wobble at the wrong time. Obviously, they got beat a couple of times by Wigan and Blackpool, wasn't it, a few weeks ago? That obviously their local derby sort of knocked the stuffing out of them, and obviously got a lot of time for their manager Ian Everett as an ex-Derby graduate. But some of his press conference conversations have been a little bit bitter, and like you say, you see their fans, they think they should be better than they are, but clearly it goes to show you that pressure is getting to them a little bit. And we can't not say the same against Derby. Obviously, as I say, we've had the opportunities and we haven't necessarily taken them. The game's now with two to go, that it's back in our hands, and let's hope it's third time lucky, fourth time lucky, whatever it may well be. And like you say, you would expect Derby to go to Cambridge and put in a performance, but we also know that that might not be the case. So any benefits, any sort of luck we can get tonight, any favours we can get tonight, and then we take it. I mean, what if Bolton fail to win tonight, then obviously that's best case scenario. It really does put the onus onto Bolton's final two, with still is it Peterborough at home? They've got the final game of the season. I think they are at home. So
They are at home, yeah. But I think I'm
yeah.
right in thinking that if they lose tonight, not that I think they will, but I think if they lose tonight, they'll obviously then be 4 points behind us. If we win on Saturday, that's it, it's game
That's
over.
it. Absolutely. Yeah. And then Pride Park will be a
We've
party.
done it.
Yeah, exactly.
It
So
will.
it's still back in our hands. And before we go, James, as the Bolton game is just kicking off, so I want to just get your very quick opinion. We've just mentioned it there. Our next game, Cambridge, obviously under a new manager. As I say, they've probably not quite had the bounce that they wanted from a new manager. Still with, as you mentioned, that sort of one eye over the shoulder relegation, although I don't think they're one of the worst three teams in this league, and probably had a change of
No.
management at this time to have a look at it and get ready for the summer to then push on. But again, it comes with its own dangers, James. Like you say, I think was it 3-2 last season
Yes.
against Cambridge at the Abbey? And if memory
I think
serves
it
me
was,
right,
yeah.
it was a bit of a rip-roarer of a game as well. It was a bit of a ding-dong affair. So,
Was that Paul Warne's first game in charge
I
at Cambridge?
think indeed it was. I think indeed it was, yeah. And
Yeah, it was.
yes, I think it was. I think it was. It was either there or Cheltenham.
Yeah.
It's one of the Seas. It was one of the two. I can't
Yeah,
remember
it was,
now, but it might have been
yeah.
Cambridge. But yeah, so no,
Yeah.
definitely not a easy game, obviously, to go to. But one of the benefits is, of course, with other teams playing tonight, I know you win them both and you're up. That's obvious. But you are going to know that there is a potential that a result on Saturday is enough. But we can only focus on what we can focus on. And like you say, I think the points that you've just picked
Can.
up on there, James, we're looking to obviously break the away record. I think we're equaling it at the moment. Obviously, we're going for the most points. We know we've got another game on that, but everything hopefully is pointing towards, it would be, again, to coin the phrase, it would be a derby thing, the derby way to go and get beat at Cambridge, and then needing something on the final game of the season. But
Yeah.
it's, I'm just looking at the last couple of away games, Northampton, Wickham, They've not gone in Derby's favour. So what I'm going to say is we're due a win, James. What do you reckon?
Yeah, no, I think we'll do it. I think we'll get the 3 points on Saturday, to be honest. I think the result on Saturday, I think it'll give them a bit of confidence, to be honest. I think they've probably been lacking a little bit of it. The wins that we have been getting have been, 1-0. But to have a 3-0, that will do us the world of good, I think. And I think we'll go into that game full of confidence. There's no reason that we shouldn't do. And we'll attack it from the off. So I think we'll be coming home with 3 points on Saturday.
Well, I certainly hope so, because that'll make Saturday a hell of a lot easier. As I said,
It
there's
will.
more conversations to have about contract negotiations. We're going to all get into that, but it's at the minute we can't talk about that because we don't know where obviously we are going to be. But the end is
No.
near, and so is the podcast. James, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on again, mate. I appreciate it. Thank you for your insights. Thank you for the last hour, and
Not a problem.
obviously, as I'm sure we all want, we want to see in what 2 weeks' time Derby at five, well, what, 2:30 on the 27th as a championship club again.
Exactly. 100%.
Thanks for joining me, mate. Appreciate it.
Not a problem at all. Cheers. Thanks very much.
And as always, up the Rams. Thank you for listening to the latest episode of the Rams Review podcast. Don't forget to like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. If you'd like to get in touch, we're on Twitter at RamsReview1. Our Facebook is Rams Review Podcast. Or you can drop us an email, ramsreview@hotmail.com. Thanks for listening, and until next time, up the Rams.